episode 461 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a San Diego Comic-Con wrap-up episode. I'm going to be talking about some of the DC news that came out of San Diego Comic-Con. I'll probably do a Marvel one as well at some point, or maybe I'll just lump Marvel in with all the other comic news because they didn't really have a whole heck of a lot. When it comes to that, I would say DC really won San Diego Comic-Con this year, and it wasn't that they had any big bombshell announcements. I mean, neither did any of the other comic publishers, but DC had the most announcements. Some of them were confirmations of rumors that have been around for a few months. Other things were relatively new, but I think that just overall, DC kind of had the biggest presence there from a comic book perspective. Plus, you know, Warner Brothers with the Shazam trailer and the Aquaman trailer, it really felt like it was DC's show this year. So, I'm just going to go through my notes. This episode's going to be kind of off the cuff. It might be a little choppy. Some of the notes, I may not remember what I wrote. I mean, it has been a few weeks. I do apologize. I wanted to get this out sooner. But man, Comic-Con just puts me so far behind on everything. Even though I tried to record a lot of the episodes that were coming out during Comic-Con ahead of time, you know, I still had to come home and then immediately record. And I know there were a few episodes that were late, and then plus all the content to produce from Comic-Con. So yeah, I mean, it's first world problems. I'm not complaining. I love Comic-Con. It's great to go and see everybody. But yeah, it affects the timeliness of episodes like this where I want to go back and talk about some of the news that came out of there. And I'll be talking about some of this news in more detail as things get solicited, as things start to come out, and we start getting more information. So I'm not going to go too in-depth, but I may give a few thoughts here and there on some of the news. The other thing I wanted to be able to do was to kind of give you a behind-the-scenes look at what the press breakfasts are like. So I'm actually going to start with that. And basically what a press breakfast is, DC invites members of the press, they feed you breakfast, they give you a swag bag, and usually it's Jim Lee and Dan Didio, the publishers, there talking about the news. And a lot of times it's the same, exact same news you hear later at the panels, but we're just getting it a little bit ahead of time. And sometimes you can live tweet stuff like that, publishers panels and publishers breakfasts or things like that. And sometimes they don't want you to. And that was the case here. But while we were there getting the news, DC publicity, PR, were releasing press releases about a lot of the things that we were learning. So by the time the breakfast got done, the news had already broken. And, you know, you could go write your articles or what have you. So they brought in Tiffany Smith to moderate from DC All Access. And the first thing, they did mention September's Heroes in Crisis and that the press breakfast on Friday was going to focus on that. But they started off with the Justice League Dark Wonder Woman event called The Witching Hour, which actually comes out on Halloween. And, you know, there's been a lot of question or confusion about why Wonder Woman is in Justice League Dark in the first place. Because we really don't usually think of her as a magic hero, but she really does have her origins in that corner of the DCU. And I think writer James Tynion really wants to focus on that. James has also told me that not only does he want Justice League Dark to be the scariest Justice League book, he wants it to be the scariest book in the DC universe. So playing into that, playing into the magical roots of Wonder Woman. So look for that in October. The next thing they mentioned was the Electric Warriors miniseries, now by Steve Orlando. And I had asked Steve if this had anything to do with the Doug Munch 1980s Electric Warriors, and he told me that it didn't. But maybe he meant that you didn't need to have read that, because the way Jim and Dan made it sound is that they were kind of related. And maybe this is just a different version of that same story. Maybe they're, you know, similar themes. Maybe some of the roots are the same. So that's coming out in November. Also in November, the publishers confirmed the rumor of Grant Morrison on Green Lantern with art by Liam Sharp, who is not only one of my favorite artists, but really one of my favorite people. Liam is such a great, genuine, lovely human being. I can't say enough good things about him. So yeah, that rumor was confirmed. Grant Morrison on Green Lantern with Dan Didio doing a passable impression, I'll call it, of Grant Morrison when they had dinner and Dan first broached the subject of Grant on Green Lantern. He turned it down flat, and then as dinner went on, started thinking about all the ideas he had already. One cool thing about it, I mean, you hear Grant Morrison on Green Lantern, right, and you think, oh, he's going to do some big blockbuster crossover event, whatever. He's actually taking the exact opposite approach, which I kind of appreciate. Throughout Comic-Con, we heard other people from DC talk about it. Liam himself talked about how they want to make it Law and Order in space, more of a procedural focus on the kind of the peacekeeping, the literally the law and order aspect of it, right? Like they are a police force. Let's make it a kind of a procedural, you know, a different take on it rather than doing some big, bold Blackest Night, lights out kind of event. So I like that they're taking that approach. You know, longtime listeners of the podcast will know I'm not the biggest Grant Morrison fan in the world, but at the same time, he did All-Star Superman, which is one of the greatest Superman stories of all time. So there is hope for sure. No word on whenever you open an issue of Grant Morrison's Green Lantern comic, that if you'll get the dun dun sound effect. I'm thinking not, but anyway, Cosmic Art by Liam Sharp. I'm definitely in for that. Green Lantern is one of my favorite characters. Without Liam on the book, would I still read Grant Morrison Green Lantern? I mean, I probably would give at least an issue or two a try, but I could see not sticking with it if I didn't like it. But with Liam Sharp art, It's going to be one I stick with for sure. Also, the next announcement had to do with the new creative team. And this announcement, I think, came out a few days before Comic-Con. I remember hearing about it. But celebrated writer G. Willow Wilson is going to be joined by Kerry Nord, who a lot of people know from Conan or Exo Manowar, as a new creative team for Wonder Woman in November. So that's going to be an interesting take. Because, you know, Kerry Nord, his art is very visceral, very much, you know, it's he's like the quintessential Conan artist for me. Next to Barry Windsor Smith, Barry Windsor Smith at the top of the heap, and then Kerry Nord. So I don't know how his art style is going to play in Wonder Woman's world, and especially when you think G. Willow Wilson, right? She's most known for her work on Ms. Marvel, Kamala Khan. And that book always had or has had kind of a very primary palette, a little cartoony, very classic comic book feel. So, you know, you could almost think of it as like DC superhero girl-esque. And Carrie's art is on the complete other end of the spectrum. So it's going to be interesting to see what those two come up with on Wonder Woman. They also confirmed Kelly Sue DeConnick being joined by Robson Rocha on Aquaman beginning in December. And they talked a lot. Jim talked a lot about when Kelly Sue came in and gave her pitch for it, about how poignant it was and how it's not like a reboot or a relaunch or a reimagining of Aquaman, but it's kind of him getting back in touch with who he is and kind of a reintroduction. And he talked about how Aquaman's going to be trapped on this island and having lost his memory. And there's going to be other people on the island. Turns out there are other sea gods that the sea's angry with who've been exiled. And it's a whole long thing. And apparently Kelly talked about it for a long time. Clearly she'd given it a lot of thought. It's something she's very passionate about. And she's also drawing on a lot of what Dan Abnett has done recently and what Geoff Johns did before. So really looking forward to that. It's going to be Kelly Sue's first work at DC. So the Sandman universe was talked about next. And that's coming up really soon. Actually, I think Sandman universe number one comes out this Wednesday, the 8th of August. So you'll be hearing a lot more of that on the podcast soon. And then also Black Label was talked about again with the Batman Dam story coming in September from Brian Azzarello and Lee Bermejo, which I'm so, so, so excited for. And you remember that swag bag I mentioned? Yeah, there was a preview, an advanced reader's copy. It didn't have any dialogue or word balloons, but it was just Lee's art. And oh my God, is it amazing. And what a lot of people may not know is that this is an oversized format. So if you remember the old size of the graphic novels that DC used to put out, like Hunger Dogs and all those, where it's just wider. That's the format it's going to be in. And it just looks really, really amazing. So they also talked about the new DC Universe digital subscription service and how there's going to be comics curated in there. And there's actually a guy sitting at my table that works in like the content department, deciding what comics are going to be in there or not. And he couldn't tell me anything that was going to be in there. I wasn't like asking. I'm just kind of trying to get a general idea. And he said it's going to be a broad cross section from like all different eras of the DC universe. So, and it'll be a rotating kind of like a Netflix thing. And they also talked a little bit about the 100 page giants and Walmart. And talked a lot about the DC Inc. and Zoom. There's a lot more new writers, new titles that they have been signed up for that. And that's something we're probably going to have to do a spotlight episode on at some point, because there's such a huge amount now, as opposed to when it was first announced at WonderCon, the DC Publishers panel. So I want to give it its due, and I can't wait to start checking those books out for sure. And then the last thing that happened at the breakfast was that a gentleman from the Guinness Book of World Records was on hand and gave Dan and Jim a plaque, a certificate from Guinness, commemorating the fact that Action Comics is the longest running comic book series. And yeah, it was really cool. It was really cool to be there and see that. Okay, so let me next talk about the other breakfast on Friday, and then I'll just start going back through my notes from like the panels and such that I attended. It's probably the easiest way to do it. So the press breakfast on Friday, it was a creative team of Tom King, Clay Mann, and Mitch Gerrits, taking everybody through a therapeutic sanctuary experience amidst the pain of Comic-Con, the chaos of Comic-Con, right? So how does a superhero handle PTSD? How do DC's Trinity, Batman, Wonder Woman, and Superman handle massacres, mass shootings? That's really the theme that's going to be explored in Heroes in Crisis. We've got artist Clay Mann and Mitch Gerrits on as well. So King is talking about how there's this new war generation. There's so many people who fought overseas, come home, they try to return to their normal lives, but it's not always that easy, right? And Tom is speaking from experience. I mean, this guy worked for the CIA. He was overseas. He understands how hard it is to come back and start trying to reassimilate into like everyday normal life, you know, going to work, picking up kids from school, shopping at the grocery store. So magnify that by 1,000 times when you're talking about the triumphs and tragedies of a superhero universe. And so Tom wanted to use the characters that he loves in the DC universe to really tell this story. So Heroes in Crisis is a story about a place called Sanctuary, an ultra-secret place to help superheroes who've been traumatized by crime fighting or cosmic events or, you know, whatever they've seen, right? So think about walking the halls of Sanctuary, you know, with Aquaman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Flash, whoever, right? But they're all anonymous. They're all wearing robes and gold masks so they can hide their identities from each other. And you only take those off when you're comfortable. Otherwise, you're just there to focus inward, right? To try to heal yourself. So that's why you kind of want to hide your identity. You don't want anyone else to know who's there, because it's all about the focus being inward, not outward. So in the series, something goes horribly wrong. Heroes wind up dead, and there's two well-known heroes as prime suspects. So Tom went on to say the book isn't about Sanctuary. It's about the failures of Sanctuary. He's writing about the moment in history. They felt safe. They had security. Something goes wrong. How do you repair that? How do you fight that? So again, with his background in the CIA, counterterrorism, I think he's very uniquely suited to tell this story. And I know there's a lot of people that they're like, well, why? What's the worth? I don't read superhero comics to think about these kind of things. I think I read it to escape and fantasy, and there's enough gloom and doom in real life. And that's fine. Then you don't have to read it. Like, it's totally up to you, right? But the thing that I love about Tom King's work is the fact that it does make you think, and it is a reflection on who we are as people, right? Like, he's taking his experiences overseas as a counterterrorism officer, taking those experiences, applying the things that he learned and the lessons he learned to what it says about him individually as a person, what it says about us as a society. And he's taking our heroes and our icons that are representative of so many greater ideals than us as humans. And he's putting that lens, he's putting that experience on those heroes and then seeing what the outcome is, right? So it's reflecting on us and the way they handle it, the way these heroes come through it. Maybe that'll help teach us something about ourselves. Maybe it gives us something to aspire to. And in a way, that's what these icons are for, right? That's part of the reason of what makes Superman so great, is he's always an ideal that you can strive for, and he's enduring, right? He's not human. He doesn't exist the way we exist as, you know, corporeal beings. He's an idea. He's a thought. He's a fictional character that stands for so much more than that. And in that way, he'll outlive us forever. And so when you take ideas and situations and things like PTSD and going to war and coming home, things that affect real world people, and you put them on these characters that are, you know, everlasting and enduring, you can tell stories and make statements that'll last a lot longer than just one lifetime. So Heroes in Crisis, first issue, comes out September 26, 2018. So really, really looking forward to it. Tom is and Mitch and Clay are all really good guys and very passionate storytellers. So very much looking forward to that story. If only for the art. I mean, the art from Clay Mann I've seen from the book so far is, man, absolutely incredible. All right, let me start going through the rest of my notes here, see what else. I think DC Inc. and Zoom, I mentioned that. There's a lot more announced. And as I said, we're going to have to do a bigger spotlight. But I'm just going to run down the list of titles. So DC Inc., Mira Tidebreaker, written by Daniel Page, illustrated by Stephen Byrne in April 2019. Under the Moon, A Catman Tale, May 2019, written by Lauren Miracle and illustrated by Isaac Goodhart. Harley Quinn, Breaking Glass, June 2019, written by Mariko Tamaki, illustrated by Steve Pugh. Teen Titans Raven, July 2019, written by Cami Garcia and illustrated by Gabriel Piccolo. Batman Nightwalker, 2019, adapted by Stuart Moore from Marie Lu's prose novel for the DC Icon series, illustrated by Chris Wildgoose. Dick Grayson, Lost Carnival, written by Michael Morisi. Gotham High, written by Melissa De La Cruz and illustrated by Thomas Patilli. Oracle Rising, written by Marike Nijkamp. Shadow of the Batgirl, written by Sarah Kuhn. Truth or Consequences, a Jack Hyde story, written by Alex Sanchez. Wonder Woman, Tempest Tossed, written by Laurie Halse Anderson. And finally, Wonder Woman, Warbringer, adapted by Louise Simonson from Lee Bardugo's prose novel for the DC Icon series. Over at the DC Zoom side, we've got Super Sons, The Polar Shield Project, written by Ridley Pearson and illustrated by Eel Gonzalez. DC Superhero Girls Spaced Out, written by Shea Fontana and illustrated by Agnes Grabowska. Superman of Smallville, written and illustrated by Art Baltazar and Franco. Dear Justice League, written by Michael Northup and illustrated by Gustavo Duarte. Batman Overdrive, written by Shea Fontana and illustrated by Marcelo De Chiara. Black Canary Ignite, written by Meg Cabot and illustrated by Kara McGee. Batman Tales Once Upon a Crime, written by Derek Fridolfs and illustrated by Dustin Nguyen. Green Lantern Legacy, written by Min Lei and illustrated by Andy Tong. Diana Princess of the Amazons, written by Shannon and Dean Hale. And finally, Superman Smashes the Klan, written by Jean Luen Yang and illustrated by Guhara Studios. So again, I'm very interested to check out these DC Zoom and Ink books when they come out, and I'm sure we'll be talking about them a lot more on the podcast when the time is right. Okay, Superman receives Guinness World Record for longest running superhero comic. I mentioned that already. Mark Silvestri, Batman, the Joker, Deadly Duel, finally announced at San Diego Comic-Con. So for the past few years, Silvestri has been teasing Batman art on his Instagram and Twitter. Every once in a while, he'll put up a page. We finally found out exactly what's going on at the DC Publishers panel. Legendary Mark Silvestri joined Dan Didio and Jim Lee on stage, and we found out that he is writing and illustrating a Batman Joker team up 6-issue miniseries called Batman Joker Deadly Duo. We don't have a date yet. Mark did joke that it was going to be 7.5 instead of 6 issues because he just couldn't fit everything in. It was going to be 7.5 issues. Obviously, we are not doing half issues. But yeah, Mark's not the fastest guy in the world. And in my mind, this is very much a legacy piece from him drawing a Batman story. You know, you'll hear a lot of artists talk about Mark as one of the best artists out there, like of all the Image guys. You know, a lot of people, you know, Jim Lee may be a more known name, but for like, if you ask Jim Lee, he'll say, no, Mark's the guy, right? But again, he's not the fastest. So I think that's why they didn't want to announce a date. Mark's working at his own pace, taking the time he needs to make sure and get it right. But he must be getting relatively close if they were willing to announce it. So the only negative I can think is this perhaps is why we haven't gotten any more Rise of the Magi, because Mark's been too busy working on this Batman Joker story. But yeah, I'm a huge Mark Silvestri fan. He's the reason the podcast exists, and I can't wait to get my hands on that. I imagine it's going to sell like gangbusters. Let's see. Liam Sharp on Green Lantern, we already talked about. Oh, here's some news. Geoff Johns is bringing a Stargirl series to the DC Universe streaming service. I know that's more of TV news, but I did want to mention it because he brought it up during his spotlight panel. So there's plenty of sites that covered that if you want more information. Also at a spotlight panel, something that is comic related is he announced he's going to be writing a new Shazam comic series with art by Dale Eaglesham. And they did show some art, and it looked really, really cool. The Marvel family on like a roller coaster with the unicorns on the front of it. And he also mentioned that he's going to have a pop-up label called The Killing Zone with many diverse titles, including some stories set in the 40s, in the future, maybe the 2040s. And it's a way for Johns to continue to explore new frontiers and new characters and maybe play with some DC characters we haven't seen in a long time. So definitely looking forward to that. Although I suppose we really need to finish up Doomsday Clock before he starts working on any of that stuff. Let's see. What's up next? Heroes in Crisis we talked about already. Oh, DC announced that they're going to have some foil covers in October. There's going to be 29 different DC comic titles that get enhanced foil covers like the Dark Knight Metal titles recently had. And they're going to have strong images of the characters that are in the book, like Flash or Batman, Catwoman. And they're supposed to be at that same regular price point. No additional charge. You know, it's not going to be $5.99 or whatever. So look forward to that. Let's see, what else do we have? The sneak peek inside the Black Label, Damned. I talked about that. We saw that at the DC press breakfast. Oh, also, DC confirmed Peter J. Tomasi is on Detective Comics with Doug Monkey on art, starting with $9.94. So that, for me, is not the best news because I feel like I really wanted to see Brian Edward Hill continue. I'm loving what Brian Edward Hill is currently doing on Detective, and I wanted to see him continue. But I think this was in the works for to have Peter J. Tomasi take over Detective for quite a while. So, and he's written Batman before. So hopefully we'll get Brian Edward Hill back on Batman soon. That's what I'll say, soon. Let's see, what else? Oh, The Batman Who Laughs is returning in a new miniseries by Snyder and Jock. So I'm not sure how I feel about this one. I did not care for The Batman Who Laughs, neither his visual look or the character himself. So I feel like meh on this. Snyder did say that part of the reason he wanted to do this, it wasn't that he didn't get enough time with writing The Batman Who Laughs, but he feels like he didn't get enough time writing Bruce and The Batman Who Laughs, like, together and interacting. So that's kind of the purpose of the series. The other thing that's cool about it is we got this really awesome image of this, like, Batman Punisher as the Batman, or Batman as the Punisher, kind of, and it's another Nightmare Batman that we didn't see. And Scott explained it this way, right? Like, what if Joe Chill shot Batman's parents and then dropped the gun, and Bruce picks it up and shoots Joe Chill? Bam! Right? And from that moment on, he's in love with guns, and he becomes, like, a gun nut, right? Basically, he becomes, like, the Punisher. But as scary as the Punisher is, and this is Scott's words, as you know, scary as the Punisher is, most of the time he's broke. So imagine somebody who's like the Punisher, but with Bruce Wayne's wealth and Bruce Wayne's assets, right? He could kill you with a smart bomb from, you know, 3,000 miles away if he wanted. He has those kinds of assets. So I find that a Batman who loves guns, that's definitely a nightmare for Bruce Wayne. And it'll be interesting to see what happens from there. So, already talked about that. Oh, we also saw some art from the Heroes in Crisis 2 during the Batman or the Tom King spotlight panel. Basically, looks like Harley Quinn with Wonder Woman's lasso, and she's got Batman hogtied. So that was an interesting piece from the Tom King Spotlight panel. Also from the Tom King Spotlight panel, we found out that Tom King and Tony Daniel created Phantom Pharaoh for Batman 55 because DC wouldn't let him use King Tut for some reason. So that is interesting, I guess. We also had a lot of Mr. Miracle talk on that Tom King panel, because Mitch Gerrards was on it as well. And they're basically talking about kind of apologizing for it being late and showing some really poignant art from issue 10, as well as the cover for issue 11. And Mitch was talking about how he doesn't even know how the story is going to end, and they're really putting their heart and soul into it. And they apologize for being a little bit late. Mitch definitely takes the blame for that, but you know, every page of every issue is a 9-panel grid, and it takes a long time to draw that. That's a lot. You know, there's not like, oh, I can take a break on this page and only go 4 panels. It's never that. So it's been an incredible series, and I have nothing bad to say about it. And the last thing I'm going to mention, DC News, again, something that kind of came out ahead of time. It was the August return of Supergirl, and on one of the panels, they talked about the fact that Krypto is going to be joining Supergirl on her hunt through the galaxy for Rogol Zard and the truth about what really happened in the destruction of Krypton. So that's kind of a welcome take. And I will say, as of this recording, I have already read Supergirl 21, and it was so amazing, so good. The art by Kevin Maguire, the tone by Mark Andreyko, man, was it amazing. I can't wait for more. And I'm pretty sure I'll be reading Supergirl 21 a few more times before the next issue comes out. So again, that's pretty much all the DC news that came out of San Diego, certainly all the high points. There's probably other things that I may have missed here and there, DC Superhero Girls stuff, or, you know, there's some other spoilery stuff about Justice League here and there. But I think those are the highlights, and it gives you a good idea. If you want to know more about any of those particular things, you can do a quick Google search on it and get more information. And like I said, we'll be talking a lot about some of these particular stories as they are released, or as the you know, the Wednesday that it comes out starts approaching, or we just get more details about some of the things that are a little more vague, like Mark Silvestri's Batman Joker Deadly Duo, or the Batman That Laughs Last series. So once again, I want to thank everybody for joining us. Please tell your friends about us, subscribe and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever platform you use. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on iTunes. Also, all past episodes of the podcast are available on all those platforms, as well as at lrmonline.com. While you're at the site, check out all the other pop culture coverage of your favorite and upcoming movies and TV shows. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. Quick reminder, my next convention will be Comic-Con Palm Springs, so if you're going to be there, let me know. And once again, thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time.